Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins.
What?
All right, now we haven't officially talked about this, and I don't know if we are going to or devote an entire episode to this, but I'm back in Canada now.
You are.
Happened about a month and a half ago.
I have. Yes, you've gone north, my friend.
The Great White North. We the North.
I mean, we're in the same room right now, but
yeah,
you will be back.
Yeah,
there
at the time when time. When this episode goes live,
and there will be snowing.
No, hopefully not. Yes, usually not.
And it's even if it were to shot.
No,
that
it's
it'll
September.
Be snowing.
No. Okay, I don't want to give people the impression that all of Canada is igloos. So
no, but
because it's not.
But you will be in Edmonton.
Yes, Edmonton is cold. Yeah.
And okay. Snowy.
Yes. Okay. But how does that relate to this? Well, other than just a little quick life update, how it relates to this is we recently interviewed Noel Heikkinen. Heineken or something.
Something like that.
Yeah. He's a friend. We go back years, but he is a pastor in Lansing, Michigan. And we interviewed him for the Five Leadership Questions podcast. So we're actually going to play a snippet from that episode. And you can definitely go check that episode out in full if you want.
Because it was really good.
Yeah. It was about multi-site. It was about church planning. And what...
And you know what? We say, hey, there's nothing new under the sun. There's a bajillion different perspectives and blah, blah. Well, I didn't know about this perspective.
Oh, yeah. He articulated it very, very well.
Yes.
As to what it looks like for a church to both think about multi-site and also church planting. How to approach multiplication in a dualistic type of strategy. And he articulated it very clearly. So before we listen into that, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor and we will hear that snippet from the episode and then talk about it.
You've probably heard about the movie Overcomer, but you may not know that there are a few books and Bible studies inspired by the film. One is called Define by Alex Kendrick and Stephen Kendrick, which is a book and Bible study based on insights from the book of Ephesians. You can find these books and Bible studies at lifeway.com/overcomer.
Okay, so Noel, talk to us about the vision of your church and how you guys came to that point where you wanted to re-examine it, what that looked like, the process, and
I think I can look back over the, you know, I've been in my present role for about 18 years. I've been at the church for about 27. The church has been around about 40 some odd years. And I can distinctly point out several times where we were beginning to kind of get, this is going to sound really odd, but we're starting to get blah or vanilla, or we're starting to plateau. And then what we realized is we were missing being ourselves. And we need to go back to who we actually were. And I can just think of three distinct moments where we were like, you know what we need? We need to be ourselves. Why are we trying to be other people? Why are we trying to be other churches? Let's just be who we are. And this is the third time. And it was really, my sabbatical came on the end of a couple of years of us doing a lot of internal looking, SWOT analysis. We knew that we were going to plateau both in attendance and giving for a season as we examined ourselves to make sure we were healthy. And so that, you know, was supposed to be like a year thing. It turned into almost 3 years. And coming off the heels of it, we began last fall to meet as an elder team and just say, okay, what would we believe that God would have in store for us? You know, just what is the next thing, the next 5 years look like? And what we realized is what we want is more of the same. In fact, I'm going to do a series. Nobody knows this yet. I'm announcing it right here in case anybody listens. But we're actually going to do a series in the fall. Our vision series is to be more of the same, which sounds like the most boring thing in the world. But we're like, no, if same is fantastic, if same is awesome, if same is life-changing, if same is orthodox, let's have a lot more of that. Yeah. And so what we're doing is we're leaning into who we are as a church. And so we just basically wrote a vision statement for the next 5 years that is all about being more of who we actually are. And we said, and so this morning, it was actually, we met with the entire, all of our directors and department heads and just said, okay, this is it. This is the next 5 years. This is what we're stacking hands on. Hmm.
So can you, so it's all about being more of who, being more of, yeah.
Yeah, well, so the vision statement itself, it's really boring and basic, which is kind of what we're after. But it's basically that, Lord willing, by 2024, Riverview will expand our gospel footprint by fervently adding disciples, groups, leaders, pastors, venues, and churches. And what we're saying is we want more open doors. We are both a come and see and a go and tell church, and we want to be more of that. We want to open doors and send our people in the community. We don't do very many ministries. We are very focused, but we want lots of doors open to the ministries because we want our people engaged in the community. So we're trying to have people spend more of their time outside our church than inside the church. But we're expanding the number of types of groups we have. We're looking to launch 1 to 2 new venues. We call our sites our venues in the next 5 years, as well as 1 to 3 new churches in the next 5 years, so that we'll be on pace of planting 1 to 3 new churches every year from year six to 15. So the idea is, one of the guys used a wartime analogy that it's kind of like in World War II, where they converted the auto plants into making airplanes and ammunition. And that's kind of what we're doing. We're basically saying it's going to take us 5 years to really get our benches deep. But our hope is launching 1 to 2 new venues, 1 to 3 new churches, so that we're planting 1 to 3 every single year after that. And we give a lot of money to church planting, but we've been planting about a church internally every 2 to 3 years. And we want to get to a point where we're planting 1 to 3 every year.
Okay, so as our listeners know, Todd and I are also on the New Churches Q&A podcast. So I have to ask this question because it's where my mind is going. How do you guys determine where a venue gets planted versus a plant?
Yeah. So the one thing is we have geographic bounds on our venues. And so this is a personal conviction of mine. And so I think it kind of bleeds into who we are. I have a trouble dreaming of being a multi-site church outside of the Lansing area, because I've seen, and guys that I love, who when their sites were bigger than a single geographic area, and they, in a sense, in their preaching, went from preaching to a specific city and a specific person to a generic type of person. So I watched guys lose their prophetic edge when they were no longer preaching to their geography.
Wow.
And so my conviction is you lose that too much. You become a generic, like an author versus a pastor. Mm. And so when I'm writing one of my books, I'm writing very different. I'm writing to my church, but I'm writing to it understanding there's going to be a broader audience. The preaching changes. So for me, I don't want us to launch sites outside the Lansing area. So for us, one of the benchmarks is, do you say to yourself when you're traveling, I'm from Lansing? And that's a geographic area of really 3 counties around Lansing, where not everybody in those counties, but the ones that are closer to the center would all say, oh yeah, I'm from Lansing. If somebody asks where you're from, when you're really from Holt, or you're really from Grand Ledge, or you're really from Fowlerville, but you would just say Lansing because nobody's ever heard of those other places. We all feel like Lansing people. And so that is where we plant our sites. Churches will plant anywhere. Now, we primarily focus on Michigan, as well as the Midwest. And we're also doing a lot of planting in Southeast Asia. And I can't tell you where, but in Asia and in Brazil. So we give about 10% of our income. So, you know, we're given a chunk of change to church planting every year in all those places. But we define our church plant, like one that we plant, as a church that gets the majority of their people and the majority of their funding from Riverview.
That's good.
That's our plant. So then, because so many people, it drives me absolutely bonkers. This happens in X29 all the time. You got 9 people claiming the same church plant. They're like, oh yeah, we planted this church, and everybody lists the same one. And so you're like, hey, we planted 9 churches. No, you planted one. And so for us, we want to call the church plants our plants if we're the majority stakeholder in a sense.
Okay.
And then we still support, like this year, we'll probably support 30 or 40 church plants, but we'll plant one church.
Okay. You know that, I haven't heard it clearly, as clearly articulated, the why behind venues versus plants as clearly as what you said. I love that, because when the preaching goes from, you know, very specific to your area, to this place, to more of a generic, and you're going that you lose your prophetic edge. And I definitely do see that. So if I understand clearly, if someone wanted to plant in Ann Arbor or Flint or Grand Rapids or Kalamazoo, I mean, that would not be a venue for you guys.
There'd be no question that it wouldn't be a venue. Okay. But we went back and debated that a couple times, and some of the pastors pushed a little bit. And we, at one point, we actually toyed around with the idea of planting a multi-site rural venue. So it would be, the site would be multi-site from day one. So it'd be like 3 sites in 3 counties outside of the Lansing area that together had one single leadership team. So at the same time, we would essentially be planting 3 venues, but they'd really be one, but they'd be in our venue. And then we just decided, nope, that's too much. And it just doesn't fit us. My voice is not going to preach as well to that congregation. And so we lose something. So our church wants to have a single voice.
Moving.
And single voice, not being my voice, right. A single vision, it's because I preach only 60% of the year. So 40% of the year, it's other guys. If you go onto our website, I'm the minority preacher, because for every time I preach, that only happens 60% of the year. 40% of the time, it's live everywhere. So there's a lot more of the other guys out there than me.
That's really helpful. Noel, thank you so much for being on the podcast with us.
It has been an absolute blast. You guys are awesome.
Fantastic. Well, be sure to pick up a copy of his latest book, Wretched Saints. It's I guess, about grace, right? What you were talking about before and what it looks like to be transformed by the relentless grace of God. It really is a good book. It helps me just understand grace from a different perspective as well. So I know it's definitely going to be helpful for you and for your church. So thanks, Noel. Where's the best way people can connect with you online?
You can find me pretty much everywhere at Noel Jesse. So NoelJesse, because no one can spell my last name. Unless you're on Facebook, then you have to find me under my last name, because there's a woman named Noel Jessica who got Noel Jesse on Facebook. So she beat me to the punch on that one. But Noel Jesse everywhere, you can find me at NoelJesse.com as well.
Okay, what I really appreciated about his perspective was the clarity around multi-site versus church planting. Now, he's an Acts 29 guy, and he's
already defying preconceived notions.
Yeah, but it's not.
And
but
his not just, beard would make Haggarth jealous.
Yes, and he's not just a Acts 29 planter. I mean, he's in leadership with Acts 29.
Right.
I mean, he's very influential within that tribe. So when you think about it from that perspective, you'd think that he would be way more into church planting than multi-site, but I like how he articulated that if someone can say that they are from Lansing or that they are in Lansing or that's where they are and it's that area, they'll do a multi-site. But if it's outside of that, even if it's 2 hours away or if they're in Ann Arbor, you know, say Michigan or Grand Rapids or this, that they'll actually do a church plant. And I love that difference.
Yeah, I like the way he articulated it.
Yeah, because even for me now at the church that I'm at, Beulah, going back to Beulah, Beulah is multi-site.
There's a country song in that. You should stay in Nashville and record that. Back to Beulah.
Right? Beulah is multi-site. There's we have a campus out in the southwest, a brand new campus reaching that segment of the city. The main campus, or the largest original one, is in the west side. And then more deeper into the heart of the city is our Spanish campus. So when you think about that, it's okay, what does it look like for Beulah to continue to reach the lost, both
within a multi-site context, but also church planting. And I like the boundaries that he talked about.
I like it too. Yeah. Great boundaries.
Yeah. So we'd love to hear from you. I mean, if you're a multi-site church, or if you're a church plant thinking about doing multi-site, or a multi-site church thinking about doing church planting, how do you draw the lines? We would love to hear that. Just reach out to Todd at Todd Adkins on social media, for me at Daniel Sanghi on social media as well. And we'd love to hear what your thoughts are. You could email us as well, daniel@newchurches.com. And we would love to just hear from you and hear your perspectives and maybe highlight that. Hey, maybe even if you had a question on this, or you wanted us to go a little bit deeper,
yeah,
then leave that as well. Go to speakpipe.com/newchurches, or if you are on your computer, go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. Send that in, and we would love to answer that. Okay, so before we go, we'd love for you to check out the Unseen Leadership Podcast.
Ooh,
it's the newest podcast. It's the newest podcast on the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family. And our very own Chandler Vannoy.
Ow!
Right? Chandler Vannoy is?
Co-host.
What's the other guy's name?
Josh.
Yeah.
Hunter.
Hunter. I was thinking Thomas.
You know what? Let's leave it in. He needs, well, let's just say that this will help in his humility.
So our very own Chandler Vannoy and Josh Hunter, They are hosting this. I mean, it is this podcast. I mean, they have some home runs.
They've got home runs. Yeah, and what it is about is right stuff you don't hear from leaders. So when somebody when you interview a leader, you expect to hear their highlight reel. And this is what lies beneath. It's not like, oh, let's get controversial.
No.
But no, it's like, hey, tell us stuff that people don't know, you know, before you were a big deal.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about, you know, hey, Craig Rochelle, what's it like when you were doing ministry in your garage?
Yep.
Yeah. Let's unpack those days. Let's not just make that, you know, a one sentence part of a 30-minute podcast, but let's dig into that.
Yeah. So that Levi, kind of let's stuff. Go. So, Clay Scroggins, Carrie Newhoff, Jamie Ivey, Jackie Hill Perry, Louis Giglio. I mean, the list just goes on and on. So just look up Unseen Leadership, subscribe, and enjoy. I know I do. So we'll catch you guys next time.